Do.
Logoria.
Welcome to Logoria.
Logoria.
I did.
Okay.
I got it.
We're going to keep that take. Welcome to Logoria, the arts entertainment podcast, where we talk about movies, music, and TV shows. My name is Clark Hubbard.
My name is Katie Chappell.
My name is Corey Adams.
And Corey is just excited today, which is why he just screamed out Logoria instead of whispering it like he's supposed to.
Logoria.
Logoria. So with that, let's talk about some movies that we've been watching recently. Katie, what's the movie that you've recently been into?
Well, on my birthday, I watched The Last 5 Years, which is a musical with Anna Kendrick and someone else whose name I don't know. But it is a very interesting musical. It is pretty much completely done in song. There are a few moments of just talking, but it's mostly done just in song. And it is alternating between the perspectives.
Of the guy and the girl in the relationship.
And it's about the last, or it's the, oh yes, Jeremy Jordan is the male character.
Thank you, Corey.
Yes. He has an amazing voice. Mm-hmm. Very talented. It's about their 5 years of their relationship, and she begins at the end of their relationship and progresses toward the beginning, while he begins at the beginning of their relationship and progresses to the end. And so it's an alternating between it. So very emotional. You get to see both perspectives. Clearly there's fault on both sides that would lead to the end of their relationship. Yep. But very interesting.
Have you seen Christopher Nolan's Memento?
I've not.
It's weird because Christopher Nolan's Memento, he has one part and it's shown in color, and it starts at the end of the plot and moves backwards. And then he's got a black and white section that moves at the beginning and moves forwards. So I thought that was very interesting when I first heard it. Also, there's one song in the middle where they're both there at the same time and they both sing at the same time, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Other than that, they're just singing their own songs, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's very interesting. Obviously, they'll, show up in the other person's song. And sometimes, I feel like there's one of the songs, it's at the beginning. Well, I guess that would have been from his perspective. I don't know. It all blends together. And I think that's part of what's so interesting is, it's hard to separate the different things, almost like when you're at the end of a relationship and the things that happened 5 years ago that are formative to your opinion of this person seems so fresh in your mind, as does all of the bad things. And so there's just this tension between all of the good memories and the recent tensions and the old tensions.
Absolutely.
So the movie that I saw was The Boy. The story behind The Boy is that there is a woman who has a lot going on in her life, and she wants sort of a break. She wants to get away, so she goes to somewhere in the UK.
Scotland? I think. Ireland? One of those somewhere. Two
Wales?
Places.
Belgium? Okay.
I don't know. There's a cute grocery boy.
Yes, there is a cute grocery boy.
Grocery man, perhaps, I should say.
If you want to do that, sure. But anyway, so there's an old couple who's in Scotland, Wales, Ireland, Belgium, wherever.
Brussels.
And you know, this would be a great place to insert the tongue section.
Everybody, hold on a second. Everybody, stay tuned because we're about to hear about Katie and her obsession.
This is a blooper from last
time. This is a blooper from last time. I don't know why we're putting it in the middle of the episode, but Katie really wants to, so.
No, it was not my idea.
Well, it was just now. I was probably going to let it slide. All right, everybody, listen up. Here's Katie. Hi, we're back on the Logoria podcast. Just for a quick word afterwards, because we've been having a conversation about Venom and the trailer, and Katie Chappell has some thoughts. Katie?
I don't have any. I didn't have any thoughts about the trailer.
What is it about Venom that stuck out to you?
Any anatomical anomalies?
There happens to be this part of the trailer. where
specifically what part?
Venom. Venom. He transforms. It does this little thing, and his tongue is a lot longer than one might
hope,
anticipate,
expect.
And you know, I just thought that was peculiar, particularly the responses that I've seen to said tongue on social media. Mm-hmm. Media have been very interesting.
Absolutely.
That's all I had to say.
If you know or are Venom's tongue, please contact the Loggeria podcast so we can get our next, if we can interview Venom's tongue and also get him to sponsor, or her.
Oh, yeah. We don't make Venom's any tongue, assumptions.
Whatever gender, sex
they
are.
See if he can spit some truth.
Oh, no. Woody, it was nice having you on this podcast. Please do contact us. So with that, this is Loggeria.
Loggeria.
Signing out. And we're back. Wow.
As I was saying.
Tongue. All right, Corey, keep going.
It seemed relevant.
Okay, it's not. Well, anyway, there's an old couple who hires this woman who's trying to get away from her past or whatever to take care of their son. And the plot twist, the boy, their son, is this sort of marionette, like...
Do you mean doll?
He's just a doll, honestly. I want him...
He's not a marionette. He does not have strings.
There's no strings at all, actually.
No strings attached. The new movie from the Pixar horror people.
Okay, same thing. But yeah, so I like this movie a lot because in terms of horror films, it's not your standard... you're cursed or possessed. Like, it's interesting, has a great plot development, a lot of unexpected twists and turns, and some surprising, I don't know, the way the woman behaves as a character in the horror movie is a little bit different to me than a lot of other people would behave. There's a mixture of fear, awe, enjoyment, like, attachment. There's a lot of stuff. So, Katie?
How would you describe her relationship with the doll for our viewers?
So,
our viewers,
as a movie starts, it's weird because I mean, if you heard, like I said, she's hired to take care of this doll, literally. Like, she's paid to treat him like a real boy and dress him and play music for him and all this stuff. And it starts off where she's sort of like, this is weird and crazy. And then after a while, it's just like, I have to take care of him. And it's really odd. And I mean, if you watch the movie, you'll see why. I don't want to get too much into it. But like, I don't know. It's very interesting and it's not your standard. And there's a lot of creepy though in it, especially at the end.
Yeah. The end is wild.
Yes. I do know what happens at the end, but I haven't seen the movie. Someday I'll watch it. We'll all watch it together someday.
Yeah. Party
in heaven.
Loggeria.
So the movie that I watched, actually I'm gonna let you guys decide. Would you like to hear about Wind River or The Witch?
Before I answer, what genre is Wind River?
Wind River's a thriller. Yeah, it's an intense thriller about a murder investigation, whereas The Witch is about a bunch of Puritans.
Give me the Puritans.
Is this The Crucible?
No. Okay, I'm going to give a quick rundown of both movies because I want to talk about both of them.
All right.
Well, actually, I really
want to break the time.
I just wanted to talk about Wind River, but Katie wanted to hear about the Puritans.
Give
so we're
me
talk
Puritans.
About,
would listen, you give me a choice? I'm always going to choose the
okay,
Puritans.
Okay, well, listen. So The Witch is about this family, and the very first scene is the father being like, we're having no more with this church because the church is doing some things he doesn't agree with. Okay. So they're in America. It's like mid-1600s, buckle hats, long dresses, all of that stuff.
Do they really wear buckle hats?
I don't think so, but I just wanted to say that. So.
I liked it.
Yeah. So they're on this farm in the middle of nowhere. It's like a day's travel to the town. And then one day when the oldest daughter is playing peekaboo with the baby, she keeps going, peekaboo. And then she covers up her face and goes, peekaboo.
Baby's gone.
Baby's gone.
No
exactly.
Way.
And they were like,
how did you know?
And they were like,
I don't know. I
knew it was coming because like the camera kept cutting back between her doing this and then the baby. And I was like, it's about to do that and the baby's going to be gone.
For those of you who can't see, which is everyone who's listening to this, Clark is doing peekaboo gestures with his hands.
Peekaboo. And so they're like, well, we don't know what happened to the baby. It just disappeared. That's very interesting. And they're like, maybe it's a witch. And then this is a sort of horror film.
Wait, maybe the baby's a witch, or maybe the oldest daughter who's playing with the baby is a witch?
Neither. Maybe there's a witch in the woods.
Oh.
Option C.
Is this becoming a poem?
A limerick? Witch in the woods.
A wicked,
a wicked witch in the woods. I don't know. We'll write that limerick for next episode, and that's what we'll talk about. We'll have a new poetry section where Katie and Clark talk about the Wicked Witch in the Woods and all of their other poems.
And I judge.
And Corey judges not fairly. Okay, so then later on, they're like, okay, well, the baby's dead, because Puritans are like that. They're just like, well, whatever happens, happens.
Do it. Bury the boy. Just keep bury going. It.
Yeah, basically. But then the oldest daughter gets really sick of her little siblings. So she's like, I am a witch. And if you don't listen to me, then I'm going to curse you. And they tell the parents. And the parents are like, they're like, okay, she's not a witch. But also, like, all this weird stuff keeps happening.
She done messed up.
She did done mess up. And so she goes off into the woods with her little brother because they realize that they need to find a way to make money. And they're trying to find this silver cup or something.
Oh, okay.
They're trying to go to town to, like, sell some stuff. Just basically escape from their house for a second. Well, turns out the little boy goes missing in the woods, and the daughter comes back. And they're like, interesting. Now two of our children have been lost while they're with you. And she's like, it's not what it looks like. And then it's one of those movies where it slowly, like, everybody turns against each other, and the monster's not even, like, really part of it. Like, there is a witch, and it's really creepy, but it's not in the movie that much. It's really about it's about the family, like, turning against each other because of this outside force that's making them think that.
Wouldn't that have been a good movie, though, if there was not a witch, but the whole plot was just that they thought that there was a witch?
I think it works better this way, because you're like, man, they could have actually had the witch in here. But, like, you only see her, like, a couple times. It's like Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, there are aliens in that Twilight Zone episode, but they don't really do anything. They just scare people, and then the people attack each other. So it's an interesting moral lesson. And I'm going to save Wind River for next time, just because I actually had a lot more fun talking about the Puritans than I originally thought.
Puritans are fun. They get a bad rap. Sure, they killed women at the stake.
Sometimes. Hey.
Haven't we all?
Show me a culture that hasn't killed women at the stake, Katie.
My culture.
America?
No.
America's never done anything.
Katie has a cult, y'all.
Culture.
Follow her on Katie's cult.
.edu.
Yep, there it is.
Katie's cult.uk.edu.
Actually, my Twitter handle recently was changed to Battles with Hitler for a long story, but essentially it just.
Oh, I heard about the story, actually.
Daniel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Daniel. Maybe now he'll watch Daniel. It. Listen. Patterson?
Yeah, rest Daniel in peace. Patterson. Rest in peace.
But anyway, regardless, it's all about me battling white nationalism on a daily basis.
Not as we all must do if we hope to survive in this cruel, cruel world. All right, television, Corey. What shows have you been watching?
Yo, so I got put onto this show called Good Girls, and I heard about it, and I was like, I would never watch that.
Why not?
I was wrong. Because I don't know. I don't tend to watch a lot of TV sort of dramas, I guess this would be described as, in the first place. And then, so I'm going to give you the plot description, and it just, this, when it was given to me, did not sound like something I would watch. So there's three sort of suburban wives, and
I love this already.
They all have various financial problems. Okay. One's a single mom trying to get custody. One has a unfaithful husband who causes financial problems for the family, and the other one has a sick daughter, and they all are like, I really wish we had money. We should just, like,
rob a bank.
We should rob a grocery. It's not a bank.
Oh, it's a grocery store.
Yeah, they were like, we should
this just, show.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then
this looked really good. I saw this.
Well, yeah. So I was like, and then it's like, oh, well, then they fall into, like, a life of crime, and I was just like, I don't know. But then I end up watching an episode that was not the first episode with a friend. And I was like, actually, this is really good. So I started from the beginning, and it didn't really spoil me or mess up anything that I watched.
What's it on?
It's not on Netflix. It's on, I think, maybe Amazon.
Okay.
Or no, it is. It is on Netflix. Never mind. Take that back. It is on Netflix.
Okay.
Because I watched it on Netflix. But and it ended up being pretty good. There's a lot of good characters that I like, a lot of good tensions and plot developments and things. And, like, the way that these suburban housewives, who, like, some of them haven't even had, like, jobs before, mm-hmm. like, have to, like, handle this crime world. The first episode, you may or may not like. I know for me and for a friend of mine, who we ended up both watching the whole show, we watched the first episode and we're like, I don't know. They just literally were just like, maybe we should rob a bank. And it was just very easy for them to just do that. But the rest of the show, after, like, if you have, suspension of disbelief or whatever, after you get past that first episode, the rest is, like, really good.
I think it's suspension of belief, not suspension of disbelief.
Suspension of belief. Katie's right.
I asked the question. That was what I did.
Here's my question for you, Corey. Do you want to rob a bank?
Sure.
Here's my question for you.
Katie, do you want to rob a bank?
No.
She nodded her head yes for any authorities.
Don't tell them
listening.
That.
She's going to rob the bank with us.
I have a question for Corey. Do you consider yourself a good girl?
I mean, most days.
Thank you, Corey. With that, let's move on to my television show. We've mentioned it before, but Bob's Burgers has a new season on, I think it was Hulu. I don't know. They took it off Netflix.
Yeah, it's not on Netflix.
Which is a shame. But it's on Hulu. And I want to talk about this one episode that I saw with my roommate Joel, where every single scene...
Shout out to Joel.
Shout out to Joel Holland.
Love you.
Every single scene, it's a new style of animation.
No.
Yes.
Come again.
Oh my gosh.
It like a
absolutely.
I hate
like
it when they change styles of animation.
No, it's so good. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna be looking it up on YouTube so I can show you guys. But I think it was sent in like an idea from their viewers. They were like, all
so
this fan art.
What I'm picturing is you know, you guys watched the Fairly Odd Parents growing up.
Yes, Jimmy and Timmy Power Hour.
Exactly. When he went through all those different TV shows and then the style would change. And like,
oh, yeah, he was finding Vicky and they had the remote control and they would go to the different...
And then like the style would completely change and they'd be like in a Charlie Brown episode.
I got this here. This is the trailer for the episode. You guys ready?
We asked.
It's called Bob's Fan Art and it's on YouTube.
You drew 62 fan artists, one episode. Whoa! Oh, wow.
It's absolutely incredible.
For those who can't see, there's so many different styles. Some are in color, some are in black and white, and some are more child-esque, and some are more realistic.
What do they search to find this on YouTube?
Bob's Fan Art, and it's one of the episodes in the most recent season on Hulu, which I think is season 8. But look it up. It was a wild episode. Joel and I, every time it changed, we were just so excited to see what the new style was, and it was also a funny episode. So, still
Aren't
a really good episode, not
all
just a gimmick.
Funny?
Really liked it. They are all funny. But it's a quality show as well. And I enjoy Bob's Burgers. It's a good show to watch, like, at the end of the day with a nice glass of water.
Oh, that cold water.
And
chilled.
Rice.
I've never watched it, but I've seen some good memes from it, so I'm down.
I've seen some good memes from it.
Oh, don't like that.
Maybe not.
Okay. With that...
Katie's
turn to talk about the TV.
Yes.
I would just like everyone to know that Clark was about to skip me.
I was not. I was looking at Katie, and I was pulling up my phone.
He's pulling up his phone to get out his song, to play his little music.
I am not.
Yeah, we know you got
Katie,
out of it.
Do you want to stay on the show?
You'll have zero viewers without me.
Are you the only person watching this?
I was going to say, we don't have any viewers in the first place.
Anyway,
zero minus one is still zero. All right.
Zero minus one is still zero, children.
Yes, it is.
If you didn't catch that.
Katie.
Okay. So I, this week, have been watching Mad Men, which is a perfect description of Clark right now.
Got him.
Ooh, got him. Anyway.
Because I'm suave and I can sell stuff.
Yep. Anyway. I'm not sure anyone would really want to draw a comparison with themselves and the men from Mad
Men. Just the parts that I'm suave and can sell stuff.
There
Everything
we go.
Else can go down the gutter.
All right. Sounds great. So, very interesting. I have been meaning to watch it for a really long time because I know there are some interesting gender dynamics within the show, but... had not gotten around to it, and then I was procrastinating studying for the GRE, so I thought, why not? Yes.
What year, what time period did it take place again?
The 60s.
Yeah, it starts in 1962, I think. And it goes till 1974 or something like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, because it starts with they are running, or like doing marketing for Richard Nixon's campaign.
Nixon's first campaign that he loses.
Yes, very interesting. And so it's also right at the... I love the first episode. What a way to start. They start with, like, big tobacco company, and they're like, these kill people, so the doctors say, but not really. I smoked these my entire life, and I'm not dead. And
it's
so,
a good first episode. Yeah. There's a lot of themes that
there
come
are
in.
So it's so interesting, ooh, but what a good way, good gripping... way to start a show and really draw in an audience that's been grown up on cigarettes are so obviously bad for you, and to really heighten that irony.
Absolutely. What do you think about the dialogue in that show? Also, real fast, which episode are you on, which season?
I am on the third episode, very first season, so, like just started.
Cool. I've watched like four seasons. I need to finish it at some point. But what do you think about the dialogue so far?
Very interesting. Obviously, there's a lot of things that I think are said that are meant to be ironic. Whether or not you have the ability to see past certain things as ironic, I think would be interesting. I think there's always a danger with that in almost satirical things.
What do you mean by ironic?
Sort of the way that women are treated, for instance. Constant sexualization of women, and the treatment of that. If you were to watch this without the concept that sexualizing women constantly is bad, you might not see the irony
behind.
So
what some people see as irony, others might just see as like comedy or something like that.
I don't know if I really see it as irony though. It's like more like gritty realism, and it's like terrible and awful, especially
I think
to
there
watch.
There also is supposed I feel like maybe, and this is also just from the few episodes that I've seen, the way that the sexism is portrayed is this, like, it's so overdone, it almost seems like it's a wow, can you believe how
like
much sexism
almost?
Yeah, it's and it, yeah. It might just be because it's the first few episodes and they're really trying to like make you see it, and to me it just feels overdone to the point that it's ironic. Or
it might be. I looked it up because I was like, this is so much, like just in the first season. And it doesn't really get better. In fact, there are parts where it's worse. And like, judging from what I've seen about the show, like I've read a lot about the making of the show because it's a very well done show. Like, they tried to do their best to make it as much like an Office would be in the 60s, which is horrifying.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely, definitely agree that this is realistic. I mean, women face things on a much more micro level, microaggressive level today than they did then, in less obvious ways. But it definitely seems like this isn't unreal. It just seemed like it
was
slightly exaggerated in the first episode, at least.
To make you notice.
Yeah, so it's like they are picking out all of the moments that would happen in that day that were sexist
and
or misogynistic
and
shows them as opposed to the other things that maybe were less sexist or misogynistic in order to enhance that sense of there's a lot of misogyny here.
Yeah, I think I felt like similar with The Post.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about that maybe on the show before.
I definitely talked about that movie.
Yeah. So I feel like with that, I was just like, this is what? like, I knew that women have often been like subjugated to like, I don't know, bad practices by men in power, whatever oppressive nature of
I mean, even to patriarchy, this, even now, like I sometimes find myself struggling to have a voice in a meeting if it's all men, depending on the men. Or even if it's just, like, partially men. Like, I'll be in a class, and there'll be, like, a few men, and, like, they will try to spend the entire time talking, and I don't let them. And I have to fight to do that. Yeah. Because if I want to have my voice heard, I have to really make an effort, rather than in other classes, where there is a lot more equal time.
All right. And this is where Loggery is going to tell you guys to stay woke out there and acknowledge
Don't
your...
mansplain me.
Whoop, whoop. Don't mansplain me. I think that's title. That is title material here. But yeah, so just, you know, be aware of that. That's something that I have to be aware of. I feel like this is an appropriate time to say this. But, you know, I read this article, you know, earlier this year, and I was just like, man, I do a lot of things that make me really bad as a, I don't know, not, you know, really bad as a person or anything, but just like, I shouldn't
just
do
like
these
unaware.
Things because I didn't know. And specifically the thing about a meeting, and I try to talk a lot less in meetings where women are there and they're not speaking. So just be conscious of that. Anyway, if you can finish, I'm literally interrupting you right now.
No, you're not interrupting me, Corey. Trust me. You guys respect me.
Corey,
stop.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that, Katie. I think that's a good thing. Occasionally, Loggeria should get into that.
Loggeria.
Wait, get into what is what I was going to ask you. Get into...
just, like, talking about important societal issues and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Through the lens of arts and entertainment. I think that's something that we do well, that we don't talk about enough. So, like, let's just try and do that.
We're qualified.
Sounds
Absolutely.
Good. New plan, audience. Get ready.
New plan. Get ready for the next
Buckle
woke episode
your seat
of
the next episode of Loggeria. And by Loggeria, we mean social justice 101.
Absolutely. So with that, let's move on to the music section. And Katie, would you like to start us out with music today?
Sure, would love to. Here
Remember
is...
the technique.
You gotta fade in.
Oh, I was like, I don't know what this means.
Unless it's the beginning of the song, in which case just...
It is the beginning of the song, so I'm not gonna fade in. This is the first song from the musical that I talked about.
5 Years a Slave.
Oh, no. All right, let's listen.
Okay, this is Anna Kendrick. In the last 5 years... I didn't have to play this entire piano intro, but I love it, so I did. I think the boys are both hating me right now.
I love piano.
It's probably just because I'm a woman.
Corey, don't nod when G says that.
I did not nod. Listen to the music.
That's all I'm giving
Who
you.
Who is Jamie?
Jamie is her boyfriend.
The boy.
Jamie.
Actually, her husband.
At that point.
Yeah, at that point it's husband.
There's a great song in there about her living with someone who has a snake, right? There is. I know what I'm talking about. Somewhere. Doesn't she has a song like, dun, dun, dun. Oh, I don't
she
even know.
She has a song that's about her loving this guy who like was weird and had tattoos, but I don't remember a snake.
He probably had a snake.
Somebody has a snake in the show.
The song I really like, I didn't think it would be as good for this, but it's the Shmuel song. Do you remember this song?
I don't
It's
think
where
so.
He's like, she comes home from work, she's had a really bad day, she doesn't want to talk, he doesn't want to do anything, and he's like, I wrote a song for you. Or it's actually a story, because he's a writer, who like gets, hold on, let's back up with this logical fallacy, gets picked up by Random House. He didn't even turn in a publication. His professor turned in his publication.
That's
he's
not
still
how that works.
Yeah, he's still in college, and it's a first draft.
Up.
And they said I didn't have to change a word. What? No. Anyway,
that's
sorry. That bothered me a lot.
Katie and I as English people.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. There's no way that they didn't change anything. Anyway, whatever. He writes this little story for her about Shmuel, who is an old man, and this like little goblin comes and he's like, Shmuel, make one more dress. And he's like, I don't want to. And he finally does. And then it becomes the best dress ever. And so it's really just about her persevering. And it's a really cute scene. Oh. And then, like, throughout the scene, he's, like, kind of, like, harassing her with, like, Christmas wreaths and things. But it turns out he actually, like, decorated the Christmas, like, the apartment for Christmas. And it's really cute. And, yeah,
it's good.
I like that.
I'm sorry. I'm literally thinking so much about that, and I might have to watch that. That is a lot.
You'd like it. Everyone would like it.
It's a good.
You should
good
all. Show. You should all watch it.
All right. So you're about to hear some Leon Bridges.
Ooh.
Babies. Figured I'd play my intro as well.
Thank you. It's the intro day.
Been traveling these wide roads for so long. My heart's been far from you. 10,000 miles gone. Oh, I want to come near and every part of me, but there's blood on my hands, and my lips are unclean. In my darkness, I remember.
What do you like about Leon Bridges, Corey?
I love his sound, sort of that genre of, I don't know, it just like takes me back to like Otis Redding and just like people like that who have these simple. These simpler songs, but they're really based on like harmonies. It's not a ton of music. It's not really electronic. I mean, you can hear this like what the instrumentation. You have a tambourine, an acoustic guitar, and then like vocals. It's just very simple. You know, jazzy. You know, I don't know. It's like just Leon Bridges. Like I listened to this song specifically because a girl in my class, Laura, in our group. Clark and I have a class together, and Laura's in our group. And
Laura Griffith, lest we forget.
lest we forget. But she is an amazing singer, by the way. And she was singing this song, and I was like, what is this song she keeps singing? And she made me listen to this song.
What is the song?
This is River by Leon Bridges.
Thank you.
And it made me listen to a lot of his other songs. He has a new album that came out like a week, 2 weeks ago. Not long. Pretty recently, I don't know.
Yeah,
it was really recent. And I was just listening to the album, and it just, and not that I just have always listened to Leon Bridges a ton, but I don't know. I just really like that song.
Yeah. I really like him because his music can go anywhere. You're right. He doesn't have like a genre. Like he'll just like play music that he thinks is good and not over complex or anything like that. It's really good stuff there.
It's just like he sings in this and like not, and this isn't me complimenting myself, but I can, within my range, as somebody who sings but isn't like an amazing singer, I can sing the entire song without being like, oh, that's too high, you know? It's like nothing too complicated, you know?
I think you're an amazing singer.
Oh, well, thank you, Katie. Okay, Clark.
I don't think I'm an amazing singer, so I can make fun of you, Corey. That's fine.
Oh, no.
That's how it works. So with that, let's get into our last song here. I talked a little bit about Pine Grove before on the podcast. They have a really interesting article on Pitchfork. But this is one of the songs from their new album. It's called Easy Enough.
Is this the intro?
It's
so it's a really good album. It's different than their other ones for sure. There's more of a, it's almost like a twanginess. I don't even want to say country, but a lot of the guitars that they have in there, it's like I could hear that being in a country song. And I think there's like just a more rustic feel to the album as a whole.
To make you want to cut down trees?
Maybe. Maybe I do. I've always wanted to cut down trees.
Oh, yeah. You were talking the other day about that feeling that you had inside and you didn't know what it was. Mm.
This is what it was. I've always wanted to cut down trees.
It's a shame we don't talk about books, because if we did, I would talk about Marie Chapdelaine, which is about a young girl in, and by girl I mean like 20-year-old, in Quebec, Canada, where it's freezing, and the three men she has to choose between in the 18th century.
Yeah, that's a crazy novel.
It is. Maybe someday we'll talk about books again, because we did that one time, but it's been a while. Rip books.
Okay, I'm going to have to start reading again.
Always forever be in our hearts. with that, what are we excited about? What's coming out soon that we are interested in, whether it be some new music, a new TV show, a movie, or just something that we want to get caught up with or anything like that? Katie,
I only have one thing in mind.
That's okay.
Just Venom.
Just Venom.
Still.
There's one thing on her mind.
No, also Halloween is coming out. I think I talked about that last week as well. We're getting a little bit closer to that Bohemian Rhapsody movie that's coming out.
Is there a Star Wars this year?
Yes. Isn't it Star Wars 9?
Is 9 this year?
Who's to say?
Who is to say, Corey? Not us.
Not I.
Not Logaria.
Corey, you excited for anything that's coming out anytime soon?
Not really. Honestly, recently, a lot of artists that I listen to and some that I don't even really listen to have come out with a lot of albums. So music, I'm caught up on that front. We've talked about Venom. We've talked about Captain Marvel. We've talked about a lot of stuff that I'm interested in movie-wise.
Aren't you excited for Venom, though?
Like I mentioned with Woody, I'm just hesitant. I just don't know.
I was excited until I saw the Rotten Tomato score for it today.
Oh, what is it?
And everybody, if you'd like to see the score, you can go on RottenTomatoes.com
yourself.
With that, thank you so much for listening to Logaria, the arts entertainment podcast where we talk about movies, TV shows, and music.
And social justice.
Thank you, Katie Chappell.
You're welcome.
With that, my name is Clark Hubbard.
My name is Katie Chappell.
And my name is Corey Adams.
Thank you for listening to Logaria.
Logaria. 28%? Do, 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 do.
Logaria.